Good. And God always is good. Here in Matthew 1, verses 18 to 25, we have one of my favorite names for God, Emmanuel, which means God with us. And I want to talk to you about that word, Emmanuel, today, and God with us. That's, you know, God is, he's so good to ever think that God would come down and he would take on human flesh and he would live a perfect life. And he would do all that to die on a cross for you and I. That's amazing. It really is. There is no religion like our religion. There's no belief like our belief. That's because there's no God like our God. He loved us and came to die for us. And it's all wrapped up in the word Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God with us. Father, bless the preaching. Thank you for the good music. Thank you for each and every person who's here today. And we know it's no accident that we've gathered today. We know you've brought us together on purpose. And so I pray you'll teach us, you'll guide us, you'll speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. This passage, of course, in Matthew 1, 18 to 25 is a fulfillment of Isaiah 7 and verse 14, which says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Our text, of course, is verse 23 of Matthew chapter 1. "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. And again, what an amazing, amazing truth is in the name Emmanuel. I was supposed to sing last week. Tom Bell had asked if I would sing "O Holy Night." And Debbie and I practiced, I don't know how many times we practiced, about four different renditions of "O Holy Night," and then I had it all figured out and got sick. But that's why it's "O Holy Night." I don't know if you ever think about the words. You ought to think about words of songs. But it's "O Holy Night" because we need to fall on our knees. When you talk about Christmas, fall on your knees, because God is with us, and it's an amazing thing. Jeremiah 23:23, the question is asked by God, "Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off?" Our God is a God at hand. We don't have to go to exotic places to find God. We don't have to go to a temple, a shrine, another kind of a building. We don't have to come into our church building to find God. God's a God at hand. When we get saved, he comes and lives inside of us. He's a God right there. He's a present God. And ever since man's creation, God has said, "I want to be with man." And he came in the garden with Adam and Eve, and the presence of God was with man. He wasn't a God that said, "You know, I'm too good for man. I'm gonna be far, far away, and you have to somehow achieve some sort of position where you can come into my presence." No, God has wanted to be with man. It's amazing, absolutely amazing, and his desire, of course. Even after man sinned, his desire is proven as he himself comes and lives with man and lives a perfect life and becomes a sacrifice for sins. Why? So that we can be with God. So that we can be with God throughout all eternity. And because you and I could not live without sin. We're sinners and we couldn't deal with sin. We couldn't do anything about it, but he could and he did. And so God with us. You know, you hear the word Emmanuel. It is very practical. You know, God says, "I'm a God at hand. God with us. I'm a God at hand." It's very simple. God says, "Hey, I'm here. I'm with you. By the way, I was with you in 2014. I'll be with you in 2015 too. You have nothing to fear." It's very practical. He's a God at hand. It's also very personal. It's for saved people. If you're saved today, you truly have trusted Christ as your Savior. He lives in you. He's a God at hand. It is very personal. He is your personal God. It's not like some of these religions where, if I could just climb these steps or I could do this or I could. No. It is a personal thing, this word Emmanuel. It's not only practical and personal, but it's also proven. Amen. You say, wow, is that the message? You wish it were the message. But no, it's proven by the word of God. God has been with us over and over and over and over, proven over and over. As David just saying, God's been good. Come on, you could give a testimony. Wednesday night, we had kind of a special Christmas Eve service, and we had a lot of testimonies. It was such a blessing to me. My voice was weak anyway, and we ended up I gave points, and people could give testimonies about what the Lord had done, and He is so good to us. But over and over, the Scripture proves God's with us, and I want to just give you some things. It's funny. This was actually last Sunday's message. It didn't take a whole lot of tweakage to apply it as far as now, because and don't be discouraged. All right, but I could call it 15 ways God is with us in 2015, and it just hit me that I actually had 15 ways that God is with us, and hadn't even thought about it being 2015. But what a wonderful thing that God's with us. Some of you you're trying to get over that 15 on a Sunday morning. All right, it'll be okay. Really, I think we're going to be all right. Let me just give you these ways God's with us. It is remarkable that God would be with us. Again, I remind you of the question that He Himself asked. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Our God is a God who is with us. That is Emmanuel. Number one, He sees me. He sees me. Proverbs 15:3 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And you know, a lot of times people take that and they, oh, you know, God's watching all the bad things. Well, wait a minute, but God's watching over you too. He sees me. Thank God He sees us. According to Deuteronomy 4, verse 39, He can see all things. He can see everything. He sees the good. He sees the bad. But here's the thing that I like about this. He saw me when I was lost. But He still loved me. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He saw me when I was on my way to hell. He saw me when I cursed Him. He saw me when I lived for myself and for Satan. He saw me at that time. He saw me, and the Bible says He's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. And if you're saved today, you're saved because He saw you when you were in your mother's womb. He knew exactly what you would do. He knew exactly how you would sin. He knew exactly how I would sin. And that's why He came down to die on a cross. He sees me. And I got news for you. As He saw you all through 2014, you know what? Thursday's not going to take place. Midnight's not going to cross over to 2015. But what, He doesn't have His eye on you. Amen? He's watching you. He sees you. He sees us. Maybe you're here today without Christ. He sees you. He knows you're lost. He knows that you're not saved, but He still loves you. And He's watching you. And He's watching you. And I thank God He sees me. Number two, He sought me. He sought me. Again, one of the most amazing truths in the Scripture. The Bible says in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He's come to seek me out. That should amaze you. He saw me. He sees me. He sees my sin. And yet He sought me. He came after me. The Bible gives us the great examples in Luke chapter 15 of, for example, the shepherd who lost a sheep. And he leaves 99 to go after one. And I was that lost sheep. And He sought for me. What an amazing truth that is. It gives the example in Luke 15. Not only of the shepherd seeking the lost sheep, but of the woman who loses her piece of silver, her coin. And to lose that piece because of what what it stood for, to lose that would prove her to be unfaithful. And she's in a panic trying to find that lost coin. And my Bible says that's the way God seeks and sought after me. You know, I think back to those days. And I think back to as a teenager who was lost and didn't grow up in church. And I think of all the ways God put people in my life where I would hear how to be saved. And I would hear the gospel. And I would realize that I was lost. And I think, what a wonderful God. I'm so glad that He didn't just stay up there.
I'm so glad that he didn't just stay far, far away in a temple somewhere and we had to try to find him somehow, or we had to climb some great mountain somehow to find our God. I'm so glad that our God came down and our God sought us out. He sought us out. And I think about the father in Luke 15 who lost his son. And day after day just kept watching and waiting because the son had gone his way. You know, and I was like that. Thank God. Thank God. You know, every time I read the story about the prodigal son, I see that father as he sees his son coming down that path. And you know, his day after day after day, he sought his son. Well, let me tell you, when you got saved, there was rejoicing in heaven. There was joy in the presence of the angel of God over one sinner. And you were that one sinner because he sought you. He sought you. Our God is a God that is at hand, a God who came down, a God who sees me, a God who sought me. Number three, he saved me. Amen. He saved me. You know, Christmas is all about God saving, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The Bible says that he came to seek, but he also came to save that which was lost. This isn't a religious holiday of pretty religious things. It's a holiday that we celebrate because we were lost and we were sinners and we were on our way to hell and God came down so we could be saved. You know, the manger scene is what a beautiful scene. And oh, look at the little baby and we're so excited. But that little baby had to become sin and hang on a cross for you and I. Oh, glory to God. He saved me. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. 39 years ago, he saved my soul. Seems like it, wow, 39 years, a long time. But before he saw me. Before he saved me, he sought after me. Well, I remember the conviction. I remember this person giving me a track, that person talking to me. I remember cussing a few people out before I got saved. But I'm so glad that my God is long-suffering and he saved my soul. And all over this room, that's our testimony. But you know, Emmanuel, God with us, and he came to live inside of me. That ought to fascinate you, and it ought to, every day you get up, it ought to blow your mind. God's with me. My God is with me. He sees me. He sought me. He saved me. Number four, he stays with me. I love that. You know, there's not a person in this room could say, you know, ever since I got saved, I've been perfect. We wish we could say it, but we can't, can we? Not one of us. But he stays with me. I don't know of anything that amazes me any more than he stays with me. He stays with me. He says in Hebrews 13, verse 5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I don't know, you know, I have you ever been backslidden? You don't have to testify. But I'll tell you what. It just seems like you ever even say to God sometimes, you know, I just don't care anymore. Just leave me alone. But he doesn't. Amen. And you didn't mean it. Right. You didn't mean it. You may say it, but I got news where he stays with me. Low. I like the way it says low. And I know it's not spelled L-O-W, but sometimes I think no matter how low I am with you always. You say, man, I'm as low. You know, I'm so low. I can't believe how low I've been. He says, well, I can believe it because I'm with you. Wow, he stays with me. That is so exciting. Again, folks, that's all in the word Emmanuel. Emmanuel. You know, no matter where I take him, he stays with me. Somebody says, what about sin? He came to me when I was in sin. Hadn't been a whole lot of clean about me other than what he did when he washed my sins away. You see, he stays with me. You know, every now and then you run into somebody and says, you ask them, if you died today, would you go to heaven? They'd say, well, you know, I got saved when I was younger, but I've gotten away. You know, you can't get too far away because you take him with you.
He stays with me. What a blessing. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But because he's a God at hand, he's always with us. He stays with me. Number one, he sees me. Number two, he sought me. Number three, he saved me. Number four, he stays with me. Number five, I love this. He stops me. Brother Matt Binder, he's in junior church right now, but on Wednesday night he gave a testimony, and he actually used those words, and I thought, you're getting in my message a little bit. But what a great illustration, and what a great truth. He stops me. I'm amazed how people have this idea. Well, you know, you people think that as Christians you can just do anything you want to do and stay safe. I don't think I can do anything I want to do, but I know I stay safe because he stays with me. But I know I can't do anything I want to do because he stops me. He is able to stop me. He's able to stop you. I don't know what kind of a God you think we have. It is a God of heaven who came down to die on a cross to pay for our sin. And he didn't stay dead when he died on the cross. Up from the grave he arose, amen. I mean, he didn't stay dead. He has a power over death. What in the world kind of a God we think we have? We can just kind of do whatever we want to do, and he's just going to let us do it. What kind of parent you suppose he is? I'll be honest with you. I watch some parents let their kids do anything they want to do. Don't point at people. That's not nice. But I'm going to tell you something. He is not that kind of a parent. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And he knows how to stop us. I don't know about you, little Poindexter starts to grab and touch little things he's not supposed to touch. And you say, hey, stop! You know? Of course, nowadays, you know, nobody would say that because they might get in trouble. We wouldn't dare yell. Wouldn't dare be forceful. It might warp their psyche. You know, I'll be honest with you. I'm not worried about warping a psyche, but I'll tell you what, the old paddle will warp another place real, real good. But our God is able to stop us. Who do we think we are? Who do people think they are? Our God, you know? David. Oh, David did his thing, didn't he? Don't you love the Bible? Oh, every time. I remember the first time I read about David. And I thought, wow, this guy, boy, what a guy this David is. And then the Bible says when kings go forth to battle, David tarried in Jerusalem. And I remember thinking, ooh, that's not a good thing. David's the king. He's supposed to go to battle. And boy, when he tarried, he got himself in a mess, didn't he? Yeah, he sinned. And careless reading would make you say, well, he got away with it. Oh, you better read the whole story. You better read it all because I got news for you. Our God knows how to stop us. And old David's doing his thing. And I mean, he's just going on with his life and doing his thing till the man of God pointed at him and said, thou art the man. And everything pretty much came to a screeching halt then. Do not think today that you're away from God and you're a child of God. Do not think you're going to stay that way long without God saying, hold it. Amen. Because he's able. And he will, because he's God. And he's a present God. He's not a God that just says, hey, kids, sit in front of the TV and do your thing as long as you want. I'm going to go do my thing. No, he's a God that says, I'm right here with you. I'm here beside you. Pass the popcorn. Amen. I mean, he's right there. You better be careful what you do, what you say, what you hear, what you listen to. He's right there. And he knows what's going on. And he's able to stop us. All over this room, I'll be the first to raise my hand. He stopped me many times. You know? Hey, boy, I'm doing all right. This is great. Yeah. David, thou art the man. He found out. God's able. He's able. Number five, he stops me. But number six, he spanks me. Oh, yeah. You said that S pretty well fits, right? Whom the Lord loveth, he... Are you? Somehow do we have this idea? Oh, God is a God of love. You know, every now and then he might give you a little timeout. God doesn't know timeout.
God knows paddle. Nowhere in my Bible does it say time out. It says he chastens. Go away. It's okay to amen. It's all right. We're still a Baptist church. We still believe the old King James Bible. Amen. Listen, he spanks me. How many of you ever been spanked by God? Anybody? Some of you don't want to raise your hand. I don't know, no way. Well, I got news for you. If you haven't, you better check out whether you're his or not. You better check it out, because I got news for you. It's just like I'd like to spank other people's kids every now and then, but I don't, because they're not mine. Amen. And he doesn't spank the devil's kids either. They whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. But I got news for you. He does spank his kids. And there is no way in this world you're going to, you know, I'll hear a Christian every now and then, hey, I'm going to just do whatever I want to do. And I think, okay. I can hear the drawer opening. Yeah, he spanks me over and over and over in Scripture. You know, the spanking that God gives is proof he's there. I don't know of anything more comforting than the fact that God spanks me. It really is. It's proof that he's there. You know, when my dad spanked me, I knew he was there. Always. I didn't have to figure it out. Nobody ever had to say, do you think he's really there? I remember grabbing a certain part of my anatomy after Dad spanked me and recognizing that Dad's presence had been there. Remember those days, anybody? Time out. Yeah, I wish time out. I remember times I'd put crayons in my back pocket. And that was the end of the crayons. Did anybody else ever do that? I remember one time I couldn't find any crayons. I put scissors back there. That was about the dumbest thing. I didn't look, but I'm sure there was an imprint. When you're young, you do. How many of you put on extra pairs of underwear thinking that might do it? You know, I'll tell you, Dad knew if it didn't go crack, crack, and it went foo, foo. He said, we're changing things right now. And sometimes that meant bear. You say, preacher, that's cruel. No, that's my Bible says that's love. And I got news for you. If my earthly father would love me that much, I promise you, my heavenly father who hung on a cross, he's going to love me enough to keep me out of trouble. And he's going to love you enough too. One of the ways, Emmanuel, God with us, that we need to rejoice this morning is he spanks me. He spanks me. It's proof that he loves me. Number one, he sees me. Number two, he sought me. Number three, he saved me. Number four, he stays with me. Number five, he stops me. Number six, he spanks me. Number seven, he secures me. Look real quick, Deuteronomy 33:27. I love this verse. Memorized it in Bible college. Struggle with it. It was a tough verse for me as a new Christian when I went to Bible college. Hadn't been saved very long. But what a beautiful, beautiful verse. Deuteronomy 33 and verse 27, and what a great promise of God. Deuteronomy 33, verse 27. I would encourage you to know this verse, know where it is. Deuteronomy 33:27, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee and shall say, destroy them. Underneath are the everlasting arms. Isn't that good? He secures me underneath, and his arms are everlasting. And just like a child, he holds me. He secures me. You know, the Bible says in Jude 24 and 25, it says, he is able to keep us from falling. Isn't that wonderful? He secures me. I don't have to worry about, am I in good standing? Am I? Because I know that underneath are the everlasting arms. I know that he's there to hold me. I know that in the book of John, it says that he holds me. Jesus holds me in his hand, and then it says, and the Father holds me in his hand, and I know I am secure in him. He secures me.
Thank God. In this world where people are reading the, you know, we read the news and we hear all this, these different things happening, and it's going to get worse and worse, folks. I got news for you. It's wonderful to know that underneath are the everlasting arms. He secures me. Number 8, Psalm 34, verse 7 says, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them." He surrounds me. He surrounds me. You know, all right, circle the wagons. You know, amen. But you don't have to circle them. He's already circled you. Amen. Praise the Lord. He surrounds me. I mean, honestly, you get this idea that the enemy can attack from here. They can attack from there. And I'm facing here, but they're attacking here. And you know what? You don't have to worry about it. He's there. Amen. Well, but they're on my right. He's there. Yeah, but they're on my left. He's there. They're behind me. He's there. He surrounds me. Don't you love it? Again, we're in his hands. We're in his hands. You're safe. I got news, no matter what 2015 holds, he surrounds me. He surrounded me all through 2014. You know, just like David sang, sometimes there were tears, sometimes there's sorrow, sometimes there's blessings, sometimes there's difficulties, sometimes there's an attack from here and then one from there. But all the time, he's there. He's there. He surrounds me. Praise the Lord. Number 9, I love this. He stands with me. What did he say in Matthew 28, verse 20? "Lo, I am with you always." He stands with me. I'm with you. He said, I'm not a God that's far off. I'm not a God that's somewhere else. I'm not a God you got to try to find. I'm not a God that's making you climb some mountain so you can have fellowship with me. He said, I'm standing with you. Isn't that good? Romans 8:31 says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Who can? Oh, you know, those Muslims, they're getting pretty powerful, but they're not that powerful. Do you understand you will not have your head removed from you unless God says you can? It isn't going to happen. It's not going to happen. I don't care what the guillotine is. Doesn't matter. You know what? Honestly, God will stop the thing. You say, I don't want to hear it sliding down. Well, I don't want to hear the whoosh of the sword. Listen, when it's God's will for you to go, you'll go. But until then, you won't. He stands with me. He stands with us. I remember when I was in fourth grade, the fifth graders picked on us. Remember those days? You know, and we had our gangs out there in the playground at elementary school. And it was always, those fifth graders were always, you know, we'd build a fort over in the weeds over here by the fence. And that's back when you had real recess, amen? We didn't play with parachutes back in those days. We really played. We shot each other. We had sticks. We threw sticks at each other, and we pretended like they were bows and arrows, and somebody was cowboys, and somebody. I know you're not allowed to even talk about it nowadays. Some was the enemy. Perish the thought. There was really an enemy. Yeah, some were the good guys. Some were the bad guys. We even called who the bad guys were. Back in those days, they were the Germans. You know, that's what we talked about. Yeah. Oh, not. But you can't talk. But I can. Yeah. Yeah, I really can. And they're not going to cancel our services because I talk about it. You know, just like North Korea. Okay, they're communists. Well, anyway, so, preacher, they're gonna jam your internet. I don't care. Do you understand? We're gonna go ahead and say what needs to be said. Anyway, the point that has nothing to do with this. But the fifth graders were mean. I mean, they were mean as snakes. They'd throw rocks at us, and they'd bring big clubs in and hit us with them, and all that kind of stuff. That's good stuff for boys. We wouldn't have boys confused about what they are if we let them fight a little bit every now and then. Anyway, let's get away from it. Okay. So the fifth graders would pick on us, and we were just little skinny fourth graders, and it was a rough life out there on the playground. It really was, until we made friends with the sixth graders. I'll never forget the first time the sixth graders, we were on the playground, and maybe we built our fort, or we might have been playing dodgeball or something. I don't know what we were doing. And the fifth graders came to pick on us, and then the sixth graders came and just stood there. And the fifth graders looked up at them like, why are you here? They said, quit picking on them. That's so good. I just said, yeah. Yeah, quit picking on us, right? Tell them. You know? I got news for you. My God, he stands with me. And when the devil comes and he starts breathing on me, he has bad breath. And I'm telling you, when he roars like a roaring lion, all you have to do is say, tell him, God. You tell him, God. Amen. He stands with me. Number 10, he shows me the way. He shows me the way. Children of Israel, Exodus 13, Bible says he went before them in the day, pillar of a cloud, at night, pillar of fire, and he led the way. They didn't know the way. They don't know what to do. By the way, I love the fact the Bible's very clear. God led them where he led them. Nobody could say, well, how did they end up at the Sea of Galilee? Or at the Red Sea? How did they end up at the, you know, trapped? How'd they end? God led them there. All this bad stuff, you know, like Gideon, why hath all this befallen us? God might want to show you that he's got it all under control. And he shows us the way. They didn't know the way, but he knows and he shows. All we have to do is follow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Oh, but the boogeyman's over there. And there's spiders over here and snakes out there. Just follow him. It'll be okay. Amen. Amen. He shows me the way. I told you these points would go fast. Amen. He sees me. He sought me. He saved me. He stays with me. He stops me. He spanks me. He secures me. He surrounds me. He stands with me. He shows me the way. Number 11, he supplies me. All the way. Amen. He said, Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need. So he's leading me through the wilderness, and I'm looking around. You know, I don't see McDonald's. Thank God. Amen. I'd much rather see Bob Evans. But I'm just, you know, what are we going to do? Well, what did he do? He sent manna from heaven. Who would have figured that out? Who would have figured out that McDonald's is closed, Arby's is closed, Wendy's closed, everything's closed out here in the wilderness, nothing's open, and how in the world are we going to eat and God's going to rain down bread from heaven? Nobody would have figured that out. And I got news for you. You haven't figured out yet what he's going to do, but he's got it all taken care of. Maybe the oven's preheated. Whatever it is, he's got it under control. He supplies me. Always has, always will. What are we going to do about our shoes? God said, they won't grow old. Wouldn't that be great? You know, about time I get shoes that finally fit. I have the fattest feet. I don't know anybody that could possibly have such fat feet. And it's hard to get shoes that fit. And finally I get them that fit, and then they tear up. And you have to go buy new shoes, right? Think of the children of Israel. Yeah, they didn't have it. They just always stayed good. Are y'all listening? He supplies me. Come on, all over this room, we could start testifying of what God's done for us. 2014, it was so difficult. Yeah, but look at you. You gained weight. I mean, isn't that amazing? Some of the hardest times of our life, some of the most financial destitute days that we've lived, I got fat. Amen. All right. How do you explain that? It's because our God supplies every need. All the time, he supplies me. Yeah, Michigan goes into depression, and I mean everything, and yet we're all okay. Isn't that something? I mean, go out there and walk on that driveway out there. And if that doesn't do it, go walk on that driveway. How'd that all happen? That happened in the middle of chaos. Well, can you explain it? I don't even want to try to explain it. I've never been able to explain God. I can't explain the sack of groceries on our doorstep in Bible college, and I even had Chips Ahoy cookies. Can't explain it. Don't have any idea where it came from. I'm not going to try to figure it out. can't calculate it, can't come up with any logical, well, there's got to be some logical explanation. No, there's not. There's a God in heaven who's with me. And there's a God in heaven who can supply me. And he knows where Chips Ahoy cookies are. He knows where my Wheaties are. And he knows how to provide. And he provided one time, he provided zucchini or whatever that was. Squash. Yeah. You say, what'd you do? I ate it. He supplies me. Number 12, he supports me. Amen. He supports me. I love the word for the Holy Spirit, the paraclete, the comforter. He runs alongside me. I have that definite. I've got that written down so many places. He runs alongside. Good. Alongside. Amen. He's not behind me going, go, 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 go. He's right beside me. Come on, come on, come on. You know, honestly, if I'm running in a race, somebody would have to do something. You know, the best way for me to run in a race is to get in the car and go. Boy, some of you are just not going to smile today. Christmas must have been a tell. You must owe a lot to Discover. But he supports me all the time. What's he doing? He's encouraging me all along. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. Amen. He's exhorting me. It's worth it. It's worth it. It's keep going. It's worth it. Get that finish line. It's worth it. Amen. He's a God with me. That's what's amazing to me. He's a God with me. I sat over in the house last Sunday pouting. You ever done that? I look out the window and see the cars over here and I think, what's going on? What's Brother Korea preaching about? What's he doing? Oh, I trust him, but you know, I wonder how the choir did. And you know, and God's saying, it's okay, it's all right. You just need to get better. It's okay. You're all right. Oh, you know, I'm going to go be in the cantata. I practiced for that cantata. And then, you know, I argued with God. Debbie, you can imagine how many times I had to talk to God and say, you know how many times we practiced O Holy Night. God, you do know that, don't you? Isn't it amazing how we tell God things that he has to just kind of, I don't think God rolls his eyes, but I would. But he supports me. And all that time, you know, as the comforter, he's there and he's just saying, it's okay. It's all right. I know about your sickness and I know what I'm doing. And it's okay. He supports me. And number 13, he speaks to me. Oh, folks, don't sell short this book. He speaks to me. I'm so amazed at people that are looking for some bright light revelation thing from God who never open up this precious book. Amen. That he said he would magnify above all his name. Never crack open your Bible and you're waiting on God to send some sign. And here it right here is black and white. He speaks to me. Oh, God's never spoke. Every day he could if you'd let him. Just open this book up. He wrote it all down for us. He speaks to me. He speaks to me through his written word, but he also speaks to me through his Holy Spirit in my heart. He speaks to me when I'm on my knees in prayer. He speaks to me. He's a God at hand. He speaks to me. You know, I think about all these religions out there and they're doing everything they can to get their God's attention, sacrificing their children, sacrificing this and that and the other thing. And although, oh, God, hear me, you know, like at Mount Carmel and the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the groves. And oh, God, where are you? You know, and Elijah is just laughing at him. And, you know, our God, he speaks to me. Praise the Lord. Number 14, he strengthens me. Isaiah 41, verse 10, just about done. You say, we know, we can count to 15. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. The Bible says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. It's because he's a God at hand. He strengthens me. Supernatural how he does it. It's amazing how he does it. But he does it over and over and over. Like putting a battery on a battery charger, you know? You can be ready to just give up and throw in the towel and it's all over. But then God strengthens. 2014, I don't know how many times he supernaturally strengthened me. He'll do it again in 2015. He really will. Last thing, number 15, is he satisfies me. He satisfies me. Psalm 107 and verse 9, 107 verse 9. The Bible says, for he satisfieth the longing soul. That could be the problem today with some. We're not longing for him. He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Oh, you hunger and thirst after righteousness, he said, you will be filled. Blessed, happy are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. You know, our problem is we're longing for a lot of the world's garbage, and roadkill never will satisfy you. Amen. We're longing for the world's. You ever wonder why junk food, you can't just eat one piece of it? Because it doesn't satisfy. Now, I'm not saying get right with God and throw away all your junk food, because I like junk food. But the truth of the matter is, it doesn't satisfy. It's just junk. And the junk of the world will never satisfy you. You can smoke every cigarette. You can smoke till your lungs become black. And you're not going to be satisfied. You can drink alcohol till you're pickled. And it'll never satisfy. Marijuana doesn't satisfy. Oh, we need to legalize marijuana. You know, hey, yeah, we can get high, man. But you're never satisfied. You know why you're not satisfied? Because you won't stop there. You'll have to go to the next thing. That's why we're never. All the world has a. Oh, you say, well, I got money in the bank and got my retirement all set and everything, but that ain't gonna satisfy you. Because money can't satisfy us. Do you understand? These things can't satisfy us. But you know what? He can. And only Jesus can satisfy, and he does satisfy us. He satisfies us now. Even in the midst of whatever's going on, we can be satisfied with our Lord Jesus. But let me close with Psalm 17 and verse 15. Because it's not just that he satisfies now. Psalm 17 and verse 15. The Bible says, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. You talk about satisfied. You know our biggest problem, every one of us, our biggest problem right here today is our flesh. That's our big problem. I mean, honestly, it has caused us fits. One of these days, it's gone. You talk about how satisfied you're going to be. Now, I know, you know, we all struggle a little bit with this eternal thing. You know, well, heaven, you know, I'm going to just sit on a cloud and play a harp. Do you know how dumb that is to think? Now, if it's always been your dream to play a harp and you'd like to do it on a cloud, I'm sure in heaven you can do that. That's all right. But I'm just saying, it's going to be so much greater than that, and you are not going to have sin. Amen. Isn't that something to think about? You talk about satisfied? Oh, praise the Lord. He sees me, he sought me, he saved me, he stays with me, he stops me, he spanks me, he secures me, he surrounds me, he stands with me, he shows me the way, he supplies me, he supports me, he speaks to me, he strengthens me, and he satisfies me. Emmanuel, God with me. Is God with you? Are you saved? Have you trusted Christ to save? If so, 2015, here's 15 ways right here. He's with us. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed.